Good morning, church family. We're so glad. Thank you. We're so glad that you could be here today to worship with us. We're super glad. All of the youth are really excited, maybe a little nervous, to be presenting to you and worshiping together. We have a lot in store for you today, and we're just happy to be using our gifts to serve you guys in the community here.
Before we begin, I would just like to take a quick moment to thank all of our youth leaders. We are so grateful to have many youth leaders that come to youth on a regular basis and help us deepen our relationship with God. So on behalf of all the youth, I would like to say thank you. And at this time, if I could have all the youth leaders and youth Sunday school teachers to stand. Thank you again, youth leaders. And now I'm going to pass it on to Denver, and he's going to open up our service in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we are all so nervous right now. And I know everybody's thinking the same thing as me. Just put your hand on every one of us and on every one of us that's watching all this. Let people be touched by how we can use our gifts to praise you, Lord. Be with all of the preachers. Be with them, and I please pray that we'll all be not nervous. Amen.
Oh God, how I need you. my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church family. How are you feeling this morning? Would you give it up for our teenagers so far? Are they not amazing? We just want to take a couple minutes right now, just kind of let you know what we've been learning so far this year. And in our Sunday school program, we've actually, for the last 3 years, we've been kind of going through the scriptures from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And so we are now just finishing up the Old Testament, which is really cool. And in March, we'll actually be transitioning into the New Testament. So we'll kind of be completing a journey over the next year, 2 years or so, kind of going through the whole Bible together in our Sunday school class, which is pretty cool. In our high school ministry, recently we've been doing a series called Lifting Up Jesus, and we've kind of been looking at the different miracles of Christ, but kind of looking beyond the miracle. So what else can we learn? What was Jesus doing? What was he saying that we could learn from? And so I just got Morgan here and just wanted her to share something that she's been learning so far.
Yeah, so last week we looked at when Jesus had fed the 5,000 people, and we looked at like what was going on before this miracle and how Jesus' good friend had just died, been killed, like John the Baptist. And then the disciples were returning from being sent out to teach on their own. So Jesus was just looking for a quiet, private time with his disciples. So they were trying to go to a place to do that, but the crowds had followed them. But Jesus, instead of sending them away and being annoyed and a little frustrated with them, he had compassion on them. And so that was just like a good reminder for me, especially like going on a missions trip. Not everything is going to go my way, the way that I want it to go. So I just need to remember to have compassion and follow Jesus' example.
Yeah, praise God. It's been really cool studying through the scriptures together. And what we're going to do now is, just so you know too, church family, this is a part of letting the teens learn and letting the teens grow. We are obviously passionate about teaching the Bible and teaching God's word. And everything we do in our ministry is gospel-centered, and they are opening their Bibles on a week-to-week basis. But you also learn by doing. And so we have various service projects throughout the year where we go to help out in places in the community. A couple of weeks back, all of our high schools visited various homes in the church family, and that was a blast together. And then a morning like this, letting the teens actually use their gifts and their talents and serve God, I think is extremely important. So what we're going to do now is I want you to kind of see what we've been learning in our junior high ministry. In our junior high ministry, we've been going through a series. It's called What's Up, and it's really focused all around the gospel. What is the gospel? Who is Jesus? And who am I that God has made me to be? And how I can grow and be more like him? And so what we've done is we've actually made two skits that some of our junior hires are going to put on for you. And each skit is actually an adaptation of a lesson that they learned. And so they're going to kind of explain to you a clear vision of the gospel, but also a blurry vision of the gospel. And all I ask is that when they're done, you give them a big round of applause, a hoot and a holler. Does that sound good? All right, let's do it. Thanks, Morgan.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Ashley, and I'm going to be checking your vision this morning. I want all of you to have a clear vision of the gospel.
And I'm Dr. Madeline. When Jesus lived on earth, he picked a word to explain what his work was all about. He chose the word gospel, which means good news. In those days, no one had ever used the word for religion. It was used for good news brought by a king's messenger, like news of a won battle. It was news that everyone would be glad to hear, and it was news that would change their lives.
That's right. So Christianity is all about good news. And that news is, first of all, about what Jesus does for us, not what we must do for God.
So let's test your vision of the gospel. We'll do so by asking 5 questions.
First question, who is the gospel about?
The gospel is about Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I deliver to you as of first importance of what I received, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and risen on the third day."
So the gospel is about Jesus. And what does Jesus do for us?
Jesus saves us. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
That's right. Jesus is humanity's Savior. He saves us from sin. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But how are we saved from sin? Do we earn it by being good, or is it a gift God gives us through Jesus?
It is a free gift. We are saved by grace.
As Romans 3:24 says, we are justified by his grace as a gift and through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Very good. It looks like your vision of the gospel is coming into focus. Just two more questions then, the answers of which can be found in the same verse, John 3:16.
Which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So why does God save us?
Because he loves us.
He sure does. He loves us so much, he was willing to die on a cross and take the punishment we deserved for sin. What an amazing God.
And how do you respond in order to have eternal life?
By believing in Jesus, and by believing in Jesus includes trusting him and living for him instead of trusting and living for myself.
Well, I'm happy to report that your vision of the gospel is 2020. Where many people think that Christianity is mostly about what you have to do for God, you see that Christianity is first of all about the good news of what God does for us.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you in 6 months for your next checkup.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. My feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now.
And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves.
When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
For I am yours, and you are mine.
Good morning, Dr. Sarah. Looks like we have a lot of patients booked for eye exams today.
Yes, there seems to be a crisis going on. All these patients know about the gospel, but their vision's gotten blurry. They're not seeing the good news about Jesus Christ clearly. What do you suggest we do?
Let's listen to what each one of them has to say. We'll identify the problem and then write them a prescription. Who's first on our list?
Our first patient is a smug student. Tell us, what do you see?
Sometimes I sin, but I'm better than most people. I study the Bible and I obey at school. I'm sure God has noticed. There are bad people who need Jesus much worse than I do. God is glad I'm not one of those guys.
It seems the student has a pretty high view of himself and doesn't realize that he's a big sinner just like everyone else.
What do you recommend?
Well, the gospel tells us that we're all big sinners and God only accepts us because of Jesus, not because of how good we are.
When we see that, we'll stop bragging and quit trying to prove ourselves. We'll be humble and quick to confess our sins. You'll even learn to love those really bad people.
Thank you, doctor. Next patient, please. It seems we have a nervous student. Tell us, what do you see?
I get worried when I think about Jesus. I know he wants me to shape up and live better, and I've tried, but I'm pretty sure I'm not good enough, and God stays unhappy with me. When I sin, I try to make it up to God by doing something good. I'll keep trying and hope that God will be okay with that.
Let me take this one, Dr. Casey. I think I know what the problem is, because I myself have struggled with this. What you're not seeing is that God accepts you because of Jesus, not because of how good you are.
That's right. You don't have to earn your forgiveness. God accepts it because of Jesus. It's free. So rest in God's love for you and gain confidence from Jesus, not your performance. Then you'll be eager to obey God instead of feeling pressured to, well, who's next on our list?
Our third patient is the All About Me student. Let us see what she sees.
I just love doing good things at church and with my Christian friends. It's fun to help out, to be a part of youth events, and to work on projects that make the world better. Everyone says I'm doing great, and I feel good about that. I don't know if I'm really doing these things for Jesus, but I sure do enjoy them.
This one's tricky. I've seen many optometrists misdiagnose this problem. You see, it looks like the student is living for Jesus, but she's actually just living for herself. She's doing godly-looking things, but only because they're fun and other people are watching.
It looks like her motivation is wrong. She needs to see the depths of God's love for her, that Jesus died for her, and he is the reason to serve God.
That's right. Those with gospel vision don't do godly-looking things to be seen or just because they're fun. Rather, they become selfless and serve Jesus, even when things are hard, because he first loved us.
Great work, Dr. Casey. I feel like we're making great progress here today. Our patients are getting a clear vision of the gospel, and we have just one patient left. This is the Easy Life student. Tell us, what do you see?
I sin quite a bit, but I don't worry about it. God forgives me, like he's supposed to. Pretty easy, huh? I guess I appreciate Jesus for that, but I don't understand people who say they love to worship him and pray, or change their life for him. That's never happened to me.
I've seen this problem many times before. It seems that his belief in Jesus hasn't led to changed life. In fact, it seems that he finds Jesus rather boring.
How tragic. What would you prescribe?
Our patients need to see more clearly the beauty of gospel. This will soften his self-centered heart to one eager to trust and follow Jesus. Following Jesus isn't a chore, but a joy and a thrill.
Agreed, doctor. I think that's a lesson we can all learn.
So if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke 9, 57 to 62. That's Luke 9, 57 to 62. Okay, this verse reads, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, 'I'll follow you wherever you go.' Jesus told him, 'Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to sleep.' He told another man, 'Follow me.' But the man said, 'Sir, first let me go bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead. You must go everywhere and tell about the kingdom of God.' Another said, 'I'll follow you, sir, but first let me tell my family goodbye.' And Jesus said, whoever starts to plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." And I'm going to start this morning off in prayer, so if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you that everyone was able to get here safely, and I thank you for everyone who is here. I thank you for what the teens have already put on this morning. I thank you for the drama and the worships and singing that we've able to do. I thank you that you're with them, and I just pray you'll continue to calm their hearts as they may be a little bit nervous. I thank you for their eagerness to serve you today and show your love in their lives. I pray that they will continue to show their love for you outside of church and in their lives. I pray you'll just be with them and give them peace in their heart. I pray that if trouble arises in their life, you'll just give them comfort in knowing that you are with them always. I thank you for the verse that we were able to just read and that we were able to learn about the cost of following you, being your disciple, And I pray that everyone will be able to take something from this verse and apply it to their lives. I pray that you'll be with everyone that Aaron just mentioned. Pastor Don, as he is really sick right now, I just pray that you'll be with him. I pray that he'll be able to get better, and he'll be able to come back and share your love. I pray that you'll give comfort to all the families who may be battling someone who is sick. Just be with them. And I pray that you'll be with us for the rest of the week and just give us a safe week and great day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I searching for answers, only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. It's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Meet Sally Smith. She is an average 5-year-old girl. Her favorite pastimes are helping mom in the kitchen, playing with Play-Doh, visiting grandma on Sundays and preschool 2 days a week. A fun and exciting life, lots of love and security, but then one day, things change.
Sally, I have something to tell you.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Honey, I have something really important to tell you. Daddy and I are getting a divorce.
Divorce? What's a divorce?
Sally's mother explained that her father would not be living at home with them anymore, and that Sally would only get to see him on the weekends. She asked her to try to understand, telling her that they no longer loved each other, and they were not happy together.
Daddy, don't you love me anymore? Otherwise, you wouldn't leave me. And Mommy, don't you love me anymore? Otherwise, you wouldn't send Daddy away. I feel like a piece of my heart has been torn away.
Sally heard a small voice speaking to her. He told her his name was Satan and that he was her friend. He told Sally he had just what she needed to make herself feel better. He told her these toys could protect her heart. The first toy was the Twigger Bitterness. He showed her that she could use this to prick anyone who tried to get close. Sally liked the first toy and asked to see more. Satan gave her three long nails next, telling her one was for anger. It was sharp and could wound anyone who tried to hurt her. He told her the next nail was jealousy. She could use this one when she wanted something the little girl down the street had.
You're right. I want them. They're mine.
Sally asked about the last nail, and Satan told her that she would know what it was for later in her life. We find Sally a couple years later in early grade school playing with her toys. Her mother is becoming overwhelmed with her because she can't seem to control her. Sally reaches out for love from her classmates, but she has a difficult time communicating with them because they don't like the toys that she's using. So the grooves of rejection continue to grow deeper as they repeat themselves like a broken record.
Will you love me? Don't you like me? What do you mean I'm ugly? At least my nose is as long as a garden hose. So what if I don't have a daddy around? At least he's not a garbage man like yours is. Won't somebody love me?
Sally, I love you.
Who are you?
I'm Jesus, your creator. I want us to be friends and take special care of your heart. However, in order for us to be close, I need you to give me your toys.
No, go away. I like my toys. They're all I have to come for me. They're all I have left.
Sally heard Satan's quiet voice calling to her, saying he was her friend. He pretended that he cared about her, saying he had some more toys to help her with her classmates. He brought out negative glasses, explaining that this was the true color of the world and that she had not been seeing clearly all her life.
Ew, everything's green. I'm green. I'm yucky.
Next, he pulled out the rod of blame and showed Sally how she could point this toy at anybody and blame them for her life. Her teachers, her family, her friends. He told her it was natural to blame others for her problems.
Daddy, it's your fault. Mommy, it's your fault. Whole world, it's your fault.
And so Sally enters her sophomore year in high school, vision distorted and the love vacuum growing deeper and deeper. The setting is ripe for her first real romance. It is here that she encounters none other than Mike.
Hi, Sally.
Oh, hi.
You know, I've been watching you for some time, and I think you're the cutest girl in school.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know better than I. Sally, I really like you. Can I have your heart?
No, I don't give my heart out to anyone.
Come on, just think about it. We'd have so much fun going places, taking long walks. We'd have a great time.
I don't know.
Sally. Listen to me. I mean this when I say this. I love you. How about it?
Okay.
Thanks.
Sally and Mike become closer and closer until they decide to use the toy that Satan told her about when she was younger.
Well, here's your heart back.
Wait, you don't want it anymore?
Nah, that's okay. Oh, and here's your toy.
But you can't do that, too.
Don't get me wrong. You're a great gal. I move on. Understand?
No, wait, don't go. I thought you loved me.
Maybe we'll try again sometime. I just don't want to get tied down, understand?
No, oh no.
As Sally was trying to recover from her heartbreak, she heard Satan speaking to her once more. This time he told Sally that there was no real love in the world, and that he had a way to help her. This time he showed her that her twig of bitterness had grown into a full-blown bush, and that it would protect her heart from other people even better now. So Sally placed her heart in the center of the bush and told Satan it would protect her heart from anyone who tried to reach it.
You're right. This bush of bitterness is a good job guarding my heart, but I still feel alone in here. Won't somebody love me?
Sally, I love you.
You do?
Yes. I've been waiting for you to give me an opportunity to love you. Will you let me now?
I think so. Ouch! Go away! I can't take your love. It's too painful. Those thorns go both ways. They may keep some people out, but when someone does try to reach in, they go the other direction and poke me too.
Sally suddenly heard the familiar voice of Satan telling her that he had an armor protection plan for her. She gave him her heart, and he covered it in thick armor, saying nothing could get through now.
and then no one will hurt me again.
It is in this state that Sally enters her senior year in high school. However, no one would guess how desperate she is because she covers it up well in a crowd. But when she's alone, the hurt and feelings of isolation seem to engulf her.
I mean, high school is really a blast, but when I get home, I feel so alone. So alone, I can't seem to shake this cloud of depression that hangs over me. If only there was a way I could hide from all of this.
Satan returned, asking why she was wasting her time thinking about being empty when she could put on busyness and fill her life with activities. He told Sally she should get involved in all kinds of school clubs, parties, and events. Doing all these activities, she wouldn't think about the loneliness.
Yeah, I can go to all the parties, go to lots of games, do lots of sports, go to the movies, and when I get home, turn the TV on all night so I won't have to think about it.
And so as time goes by, we find Sally run down from all the activities she's been into, still with a gnawing dissatisfaction inside. Her toys aren't enough, but she holds on to them because there's no better alternative.
I feel so alone. I wonder if there's more to life, like God or something. I wonder if he exists. For that matter, I wonder if he knows I exist. But I doubt he cares about anyone like me, especially if he knew everything. God, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of what you might see, and I'm afraid of what you might ask. But if your love is big enough to come down in, this is stupid. I'm better off playing with my toys.
Sally.
At times I get the strangest feeling like someone's trying to talk to me, like God or something.
Sally.
God, is that you?
Here, Sally, let me take this busyness from you. It only keeps you from hearing me. You see, I came to give hearing to the deaf.
Ew, you're green. Who are you?
I'm Jesus. Sally, let me take these glasses from you. They distort your vision and keep you from seeing me as I really am.
Wow, it's certainly bright out here.
I know. I came to give sight to the blind. Sally, I wish you would know how much I love you. I want us to be close, but these toys are getting in the way.
But I like my toys.
Yes, but they're destroying you. You need to give them to me.
I can't. Well, here's anger. I've hurt many people with that one. And here's jealousy. I've wounded many friends with that one.
There's one more.
No, I can't. I feel so dirty. I feel so ashamed.
I understand your pain. These are the toys that nailed me to the cross.
I did that to you? Oh, please forgive me. Forgive me.
Sally, it's not good for you to go on like this. I want you to turn over the rod of blame to me.
But it's your fault.
This is the spear that pierced my side and broke my heart. I took the blame for you so you could forgive.
Jesus, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
And what about all your bitterness?
Oh, but it's been my friend.
Your friend? It's ruined every relationship you've ever had. It's only poisoned you.
Here.
These are the thorns that pierced my brow. I took your bitterness upon my head so that you could be free.
God, I'm sorry for making you suffer for something so awful.
Sally, I've always loved you. Please give me your heart.
No, it's torn and ugly. I don't even want you to look at it.
Trust me.
Don't be ridiculous. Every time I've given my heart away, I've been hurt. My friends, parents, Mike, even Satan, they've all deceived me. How can I know I can trust you? It's all I have left.
I understand.
Then why?
Because I died for you.
Well, why?
Because I love you. There was no other way for you to be set free.
Here.
Sally, I came to heal the brokenhearted.
Why? Why, it's brand new. I can't believe it.
Yes, continue to come to me and it will stay this way. If anyone comes to me, I make them a new person. The old, everything, Sally, washes away. Now you're brand new.
Thank you, O Jesus.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we could all be here this morning and worship together. And thank you that you're working in our youth and that we can all worship this morning and just share what we believe. Lord, thank you that you've given us a decision to follow you, and pray that those of us who have made that decision will stay committed and go into the world this week but not have the world in us. Pray that you'll be with us and go with us, I pray. Amen. You're all dismissed.
And you have faith.